All right, we're in Proverbs chapter 1. Now, as I said before, I'd like Nigel Heim to have testimonies. And tonight, I'm going to just take general, if anybody has a general testimony about a proverb that has helped them, I'd like to hear it. On subsequent Thursday nights, we'll stick with the chapter that we're going to be on, okay? If you have one from the chapter that we're going to be in. But tonight, we'll just take whatever, if somebody had, I know Tiffany does for sure. So, Miss Tiffany, why don't you, do you feel like saying, or would you like me to read what you said?
Hey, you should probably read it.
All right. Well, you know what? Let me paraphrase what Tiffany said. The proverb, if I remember, was Proverbs 11:14. All right. 11:14. And here's what Tiffany said. She talked about when she first came back from Utah. And if you remember then, her husband had really betrayed her. And her life was in shambles one more time. And she talked about how she was always a private person. She would just bear misery by herself. And you know, just her life was despair. And she heard in the preaching, she heard it say that if you live by the Bible, your life wouldn't hurt as bad. All right? If you want to stop the pain in your life, start living according to the Bible. And she read here in Proverbs 11:14, where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And she changed a lifelong habit of, instead of just by herself, finding people to talk to and getting counsel, and how much that helped her, okay? Those are the kind of things that Proverbs can do for people, okay? Changed her life in that sense. Well, before we get started, why don't we, Pastor, go ahead, just a second. I'm going to have Pastor Hayne pray, and then Kyle will let you speak.
Father in heaven, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for what you're going to give us tonight from it, be it through a testimony or through the instruction of Pastor. Use it, Lord, to help us to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, which we know is a scriptural achievement. In your name, amen.
Amen. So Kyle?
Not that mine's more important than anybody else's, just that it happens to be in that same chapter, Proverbs 11, verse 1. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. And I get to think about that quite often with my work. We work with scales quite a bit, and there's like tolerance. You put this 1 gram weight on there, and as long as the scale reads plus or minus 0.03, that's acceptable. So this is a good scale. This is a good measurement of what that weight is. It's doing its job properly. But so often, I will hold myself to a different standard. It's okay that I take an extra 2 minutes on a break, but if somebody else does it,
Come on, yep.
There's a back and forth there, but I get convicted about that quite a bit. A false balance is abomination.
Good, brother. Amen. That was good. Does anybody else have a general one they want to say tonight? All right, got a few people that do. All right, Sam, can we hook up that mic? I think that would help. Not everybody's able to hear, and I got my beloved on the other end of this line here. The problem is, whenever she gets a fever or anything, she loses her hearing, and. Husbands enjoy losing their hearing, but wives hate it.
Why would you say that?
Yeah.
He tells us he's not two-faced. He says that out loud.
Yes.
That's the difference between you and him.
Give it to Pastor Hayne first.
In the early years of my Christian life, I don't know if that means the first two or the first ten, but I came across Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Proverbs 4 and 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues in life. And that to be very profitable. And keeping my heart, I understood to need to keep it right with God, to keep it in order with the scriptures, and then to do it diligently, not half-heartedly. But out of it are the issues of life. Anything that I faced in life, as long as my heart was right with God, He saw me through it.
Yeah, I like it. It's good. All right, yeah, pass it back there to Pedro.
Mine comes, Paul probably heard my many different times. I'm just going to say it again. Proverbs 13:10. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised wisdom. God used that in my life to just show me I was a proud person because I was a contentious person.
It's good.
Only by pride cometh contention.
Right. That's good. All right, who else did we have? All right, Randy.
Well, I don't know the exact chapter or verse, one from that really stuck out to me. If thine enemy be hungry, give him food to eat. If he be thirsty, give him water to drink. Part that I was heavily reminded of that practice in some way was back when I was at Crown Y. I told you people before, one of my coworkers was an open Satanist, but he was wearing himself like a rag doll. I think he's just going to keep on working himself into the ground. I can't let this man fall on the job. So, unbeknownst to him, when I was on lunch, I was ordering for Mickey D's for me and him not knowing it, because I just can't let this man fall from exhaustion. While I feel the other areas, as far as enemies concerned, I just always found that at least a good practice starting area.
It's good. That is a good practice. All right.
Anyone else?
All right.
Something I've learned, in particular since I've been saved, it's the first time I've really noticed this verse, but Proverbs 28:13 says, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." I've had so many times where I'll confess the sin that I've done, but somewhere I still don't intend on stopping doing it, or I'll think that I intend on stopping doing it, and there's no mercy. With God there is mercy. But what I love about that verse is you cover those sins. I've had times where I openly reject what God has tried to show me in the Word of God. For so many years, trying to show me something. And I just chose not to believe that. My life hurt so bad. And for years now, I look back and see how much it's affected me. It'll be days. There's been days this week, stuff that happened when I first came here 6 years ago that have been a plague to me. And I remember being counseled and being showed and the Word of God showing me what the truth was. And I plainly chose to reject it. But the verse says, "Whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." And I just like the fact that there is that mercy, and it comes with confessing and forsaking.
That's good. All right, John Mark.
I'm sure everybody's heard this, but the Proverbs 13:1. A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. And God had brought that verse to my mind multiple times. But this youth week, finally decided to believe that verse, to take God at his word, allowed me making that decision to believe that that was true, allow me to then go through and believe other verses.
Amen.
Unto salvation. And it was a verse that I kicked against for quite some time.
Amen. Amen. You go right ahead.
Proverbs 30:21, verse 3. cannot bear. And then in verse 23, it's only this woman when she is married. And I remember reading that verse, not knowing what only this was after marriage, and looking up synonyms to it, and what was vile. And that led me to Job 40, verse 4. Behold, I am vile, what shall I answer thee? I will lay my hand upon my mouth. And those are just two very precious, three very precious verses to me, because this proverb showed me who I was.
Well, good.
In less than a month of believing these and actually seeing that of myself, I was saved. So.
I like it. It's good. It's good. All right, anyone else? All right, Caleb has one.
So, me and my mom were reading this verse earlier, and I believe it's Proverbs 1, 8, and 9. It says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace on thy head, and chains about thy neck. And I realized, it's basically saying, you need to honor your father and your mother, or it's chain around your neck that you can never take off.
Okay. All right. Do you have anybody else has anything they want to say? All right. All right, back over here.
The Queen of the Bass.
I remember reading Proverbs 21:2. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes.
Oh, Sharon. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. All right, anyone else? All right. Let's click it off. And we'll start in the book of Proverbs. Now, next week, wherever, whatever chapter of Proverbs we're in, if somebody has something in that chapter, we're definitely going to want to hear from you. All right, so Proverbs chapter 1. What I want you to understand, first of all, is this. If you remember when Moses was judging the people of Israel and his father-in-law said, you take too much on yourself. In other words, they're going to wear you out. He said, divide up, have lesser men judge things. And then the things that are just too hard for them to judge, you judge just those. And Israel set up such a system where the priests in the local villages would do the judging. And every once in a while you get stuff that's just too hard. We have a similar thing with our courts of appeals and the Supreme Court in the United States, where there's certain issues that go on, and that you're really wondering, how do we apply this? How do we do this? And we have chosen in this country to send it to 9 justices who will make the final decisions of how these things should be interpreted. Under Israel's system, Solomon was the Supreme Court. He's not taking just every little case that comes up. He's taking the ones that come to him that are just too tough for anybody else to handle. And again, keep in mind, you're dealing with a man who's been given wisdom by God and understanding above what any man's ever had before. Okay? When Solomon was young and the Lord asked him what he wanted, he said, look, I'd like understanding. This is a great people. I'd like to know how to judge them and such. And the Lord said, because you've asked for this, I'll give you wealth above what any man's ever had. So I want you to imagine Solomon waking up in the morning and bride 732 is next to him, and he shoes her off and she takes off to wherever she's going, and his attendants dress him and bathe him, and meanwhile his courtiers are telling him what the Syrians are doing, what the ambassador from the Midianites wants to talk to him about, and he's listening to all that, having his morning cup of coffee. And eventually he has to go sit on his throne, and there's a couple of double doors back there at the end of this hall. He sighs, open them up, and there's lines of people. And they're each there for him to judge. And they're going to come up one by one, tell him their stories. Sons that betrayed him, neighbors that did him wrong, issues that go on. And after 40 years of that, Solomon put down these proverbs that are one-liners that he found guide very well in tough decisions. Okay? They're the things that eventually guided him. All right? Things that he learned after all his 40 years having to face that line every single day as they walk in. And those are the things that we're going to look at as we look at the book of Proverbs. Now he says this, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. I don't know anybody who doesn't want wisdom. I know a lot of people who reject the wisdom of the Bible, going after their own wisdom. That's a bad choice to make, but they still wanted wisdom. They just choose their own over the Bible's. If God has been very merciful to him, he'll long suffer them for a while, let their own wisdom choke them to death. Mm. All right, that's really what Nick had talked about. You know, your own wisdom choked you to death for a while. Some of the others have gone through that. Johnny had a very similar thing that he talked about. And so eventually you want the wisdom of God. So Proverbs was written so that you could have that. All right, and instruction. We live in an age where it's almost impossible to have any machine or any mechanism that you can't go on YouTube and see somebody fix that machine. Okay? Yeah. Now, it's interesting because that does me no good. I have just, that's why I'm playing a piano. I still don't understand how you make those black marks on there, do something here, and how your fingers relate to something in your, that just makes no sense to me whatsoever. All right? I've never had that skill, never had that ability, never understood why a machine works. All right, but that's what the instruction is for you to get instruction in the things of God. And for those who have found the instruction in the things of God, it turns out to be one of the most valuable things that you have ever had. Oh my goodness, your life becomes so much easier. It doesn't mean that no evil things will happen to you. It just means when they happen, you're going to handle it different. You're going to handle it the way Jesus Christ would handle it. You're going to handle it the way one of the apostles would handle it. And it's not going to have that grief. You're not going to have to look back with the awful conscience and bitterness that so many of us have for so many parts of our life. Then he says this. To perceive the words of understanding. You know, they have people who are professional taste testers. They'll come up with a new soda pop or something like that, and there are people who will sit there and they'll take that new kind of Dr. Pepper that's maybe vanilla with cherry in it or something like that, and they'll have them, and they actually sniff it, put a little bit on their tongue, and they'll tell you, caramel, vanilla, cherry. They have to be very careful. They don't ever want to get colds, anything of that sort. They can perceive those things. And they're paid high money, all right, to be able to do that. And they sit there and they're taste testers. People who test wine do a similar thing. They put it in their mouth and they can actually tell you, okay, that was, you know, there's a little bit of coconut in that wine. They don't swallow it. They merely taste it and they spit it out again to get it. And it's a great discernment. God wants you to have that with your ears, where you can get something in your ears and you can actually perceive the words of understanding. When your child comes up and talks to you, you know when that child's an idiot. All right? They think they're so clever, you know? And you just listen to them and you realize, eh, all right? I remember one time with Bill Randall, I always loved this, I'd only met him, and we were driving in his car, and we go on this back road, and sure enough, his son is walking there with some of his friends, Kenny, about 14. And he slows the car down, and you can see in Kenny's face, this is the last thing on earth he wanted. Was for his father to see him walking with these boys this time of night. And his father asked him very calmly, Kenny, what are you doing? Kenny explained in stammering, stuttering voices, and his father said, Kenny, I have made a choice not to believe you. And I remember thinking how wise that was, you know? I've made a choice, okay? I might be making a mistake, but if you can't be believed, it's not my fault, it's because you have a history of lying, all right? You know, J.R.R. Tolkien says this at one point in one of his books. He talks about Gollum, and he says, he has all the indignation of a liar the one time he's telling the truth. All right? If you ever know a person who's a liar and one time they tell the truth and you don't believe it, they go ballistic. That's one of the ways you know they're a liar, all right? Because they go ballistic over it. If I told Pastor Hain, well, I don't believe you, he'd be hurt, okay? It'd bother him, but he's not going to go ballistic. He's a truthful man, all right? He realizes there's a problem between him and I or something of that sort, and that's all there is to it. But when you have somebody and you don't believe them, they really, this one time out of 100, they are telling the truth, all right? And you don't believe them, they just go spastic. They go out of their mind over that thing, all right? But part of what you need in life is to be able to perceive the words of understanding. You watch the news, you listen to, politicians speak, things of that sort. You know, the old joke, how do you know when a politician's lying? Well, their mouth moving, you know? But it's a skill that you need to have, okay? Because amidst all those people, there really are some who want to do the right thing. And some of them have to give credence to certain things being said, and you have to realize, when are they just giving credence to that? And, you know, having that skill to understand means a lot. Having it just out in daily life, buying and selling a car, okay? Just, you know, different decisions you make. Those of you who, you know, looking for a mate or whatever else, it's important to know that stuff. This is what Solomon promises that you can get out of this. Then he said, to receive the instructions of wisdom. So not just wisdom, but what would wisdom instruct you to do? Mm-hmm. Boy, what a wonderful thing. How many times have you been in a situation where you just did not know what to do? You just didn't know. Sometimes you have the luxury, don't do anything. Okay? Don't just run around, you know, your wife falls down and you're not sure what to do, so you slit her throat to open her air passages, and it turns out, you know, no, she was just a little faint, you know. In other words, you don't have to just jump down and do something, all right, because you don't know what to do, all right? But let's say you have to do something quickly and you don't know what. This is one of the things. You can turn to Proverbs, go through things, ask yourself, am I violating Scripture? Am I doing something here that's wrong? Is it unclean? Whatever else. Is this just for my own good? Get that that instruction of wisdom. Okay? And then he goes on, of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. Okay? And each of those things, justice, you understand what that is. Giving people what's just and good in the situation. Judgment, equity, keeping things equal where it needs to be equal, okay? You know, not long before I became the pastor here, I had to do jury duty over in Farmersville. I lived in Franklinville, and they sent me there, and there was a man who'd been arrested because they thought he'd been cruel to his dog. And what had happened was his dog was old, probably should have been put down, all right? And the neighbor had told him, we think you really need to put that dog down. I mean, it's so skinny and it's laying there. Its life's miserable. They love the dog. They couldn't bring themselves to do it. So eventually the neighbor took the dog to the vet herself and wanted to ask the vet. The problem was what she didn't know, if you involuntarily take an animal to a vet, the vet has to call the police. All right? Then the police came in. Went up there and investigated the property, saw where the dog had been. There's no shade where the dog had been. There was no water in the bowl there. And you know, so the man gets arrested for cruelty. And I'm listening to this, and it sounded terrible, and I'm one of the jurors on this thing. And then it came out that the dog was rarely ever out on that lead. Okay, that was a very rare thing for the dog to be there. Even the neighbor was embarrassed now. No way in the world did she want this to happen. And it turned out the man really had bad judgment. The dog should have been put down, but that dog had never laid for hours in hot sun without water or anything else. That became clear, okay? And so all this went on, but the other five people in the jury, they were just mad at the guy. And they said, well, let's nail him. And I said, no. I said, did anyone prove to you in this that that dog ever laid out there without water? Did anyone ever prove that to you? Did any testimony say that? Then you don't know that. Okay? You don't know it. You never heard that testimony. And I just went through the thing and I said, you know, even the neighbor admits they love their dog. All right? They held on to it too long. We all know that. And I said, isn't it enough to you that the man was arrested, embarrassed, And that anyone around will probably never do that to a dog again. Hold on to it too long. But you never heard one bit of proof that he left that dog in miserable conditions. You never heard one bit of proof of that. And they all agreed. And I remember it being midnight. It's gone on forever, this jury trial. And coming out there and declaring the man not guilty. And it healed a relationship between the neighbors for sure. All right. If you imagine how embarrassed she was realizing I got my neighbor arrested and I only meant to help his dog. All right. And I remember the prosecutor walking out very quick with his thing or whatever. But it's one of those things, again, where I thank God that I had the book of Proverbs and I just looked at what justice was and what the truth was in this. And let's not just jump on this because of our feelings towards a dog, all right? You know, what really happened here, all right? Did the dog ever lay out in the hot sun? Maybe it did, but there was no testimony in the trial that it had done it, okay? I remember one time being in a federal courtroom and the other side accused us of hating Jews, all right? And it was such a ridiculous thing because one of the shop owners who had been arrested was a Jew. So they just thought, well, they hate Jews. And later on, the next day, the judge said, he told our attorney, he said, I have a statement made that these people hate Jews and there's never been any testimony against it. In other words, unless there's testimony against it, I need to receive that as the truth. Okay? And again, it's just a mistake my lawyer made not sending someone up there to refute that idea that we hated Jews. All right? You know, so you have to be able to learn to listen to what you're hearing. Don't go by your emotions. Listen to what's being said. Justice, equity, judgment, all those things. Learn how to do that. And then it says to give subtlety to the simple. Now, most of the time, subtlety is used. It's used in a bad sense. The devil was more subtle than any beast in the field. Amnon had a friend, Jonathan, who was subtle, all right? But subtlety means that you know how quietly, without advertising what you're doing, maneuvering a situation. All right? And there are times that's a very wise thing to do. Okay? As a pastor sometimes, you know, people will come up and they're all upset with each other and you listen. And there's no way you can jump in and judge the situation, but you can calm it down. All right? You settle it down. In your own families and such. And there's ways not to just run in like a bull moose. There's ways not to run in like a bull in a china shop and jump all over the place, but quietly and subtly quiet. So to give subtlety to the simple. And you know something? Part of the problem with youth is you're simple. You don't have a sophisticated look at things. Your sophistication comes with years and time and everything else. So when you don't have all those years and time, what can you have? Well, you can read the book of Proverbs. Okay? You don't know what to do, but you have a verse that says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. I can't imagine what to do, but there is a proverb that talks about this. I'm going to blindly do what that proverb says. And I do remember the time in my life when that began to change my life. Okay? It says to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. All right? Discretion. Randy's wincing. I don't know how many times we used to hear his mother say, Randy, filters, filters. All right? There's such a thing as speaking the truth in love. Okay? I can walk up to somebody that has a scar on their face. Say, hey, you got a scar on your face. Was that wise? But it was the truth. All right? Having discretion, okay? Understanding. Being able to speak to people with that idea of being able to speak so that you're not hurting. You know, I might walk out. I've done it before with my zipper down. All right? Someone goes, hey, the barn door's open. All right? Or they could discreetly grab me by the arm, turn me around, and march me back in. All right? And I've had people do that to me. Your friends will do that to you. All right? I remember one time walking out of a bank and everybody I was talking to was looking at me weird. And I came out, my friend said, you got a booger in your face. Why didn't somebody in the bank say it? They weren't my friends. All right? They're just kind of gross while they're talking to me. All right? And, you know. But, you know, I've heard many times as a pastor, well, I told them the truth. Yeah, without 1 ounce of discretion.
Right.
Without 1 ounce of subtlety. Okay, without 1 ounce of it, and then walk around and justify yourself because you told the truth, okay? You know, the devil doesn't need to lie about us when he accuses us, you know, day and night, all right? He doesn't need to lie. All right, then he says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Nick talked about a turning point in his life. Johnny talked about a turning point in his life when they began to hear. Listen to what's being said, okay? Taking it to themselves. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. What's that mean, attain unto it? It means you'll finally come to that point where you get those things, all right? They're theirs. You have them for yourself. You have those wise counsels. In life, I've been given many wise counsels, and I rejoice and thank God for every one of them. And not all of them have come from Christians. Some have just come from plain old people out there who had some sense in the world and told me some things, and it was good sense, good instruction. Didn't go against the Bible or anything of that sort. Came from a time in America when people lived better lives, and the Bible was much more in the culture, and they teach you certain things, and you were glad you listened to them, okay? I think back to my elementary times in school, things teachers would just say to people. Remember one time somebody grabbing a girl's purse, and a sixth grade teacher explaining to all the boys, you never, ever, under any circumstances, look at a girl's purse. We didn't understand any of the transitions going on in their life and things that might be in their private or things like that. But she made that the fear of God. You don't ever look in a girl's purse. You don't. And you know what? I asked my wife permission before I look at hers. I still think of Mrs. Watson, you know. But you remember those things, all right? They're just their wise counsel, they're good things. You hold on to those. I talk about this a lot, how that young people are climbing Fool's Mountain. They're climbing Fool's Mountain. And you cannot stop them. Every one of us knows somebody right now climbing Fool's Mountain. They're doing that. And you can't stop them, but you can give instruction to them. And sometimes when they get to the top of Fool's Mountain, they made it. Here I am. The whole world can see that I'm a complete and utter fool. Okay? There's some of those people who had voices in their ear from time past. Tell them how to get off that mountain. Okay? What way to go. And thank God for that. You can be that voice to people. Okay? You can be that voice. And they could have those wise counsels there. Verse 6, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Dark sayings aren't like we think of today like a horror movie, okay? Dark sayings mean you say something that's kind of a parable. It's not right out there, okay? Randy's frowning over the idea of parable. Let me see if I can explain that. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Okay? That's a parable. What am I talking about? I can bring you to a certain place, but I can't make you do right once you get there. That's what that parable meant. It's a dark saying, and that it didn't come right out and say what it meant. Okay? But everybody listens to that and understands what I'm saying to that. Okay? So one of the things the book of Proverbs does is help you to learn those dark sayings and to be able to understand a proverb. We're going to run into certain proverbs here that I don't have a clue why Solomon wrote them. Right. All right, I don't have a clue. And fortunately, there's not as many as there used to be. But last I knew, he didn't consult with me when he wrote them. Then he says in verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge.
Amen.
All right, and again, it's the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. People who don't fear God are in trouble.
Right.
Okay?
Tell them.
There's the psalm that says, the transgression of the wicked saith within my heart, there's no fear of God before their eyes. Mm-hmm. There's certain people I watch do things and realize they're not afraid of God in this thing.
That's right.
They're not afraid what God's going to do.
Oh, yeah.
All right? And as a result, it hinders them getting knowledge. It hinders them getting any of that. Okay? Fearing God goes a long ways
Amen.
To God teaching you.
Amen.
But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Okay? Johnny and Nick. Now, they're not the only ones. They're the only ones who talked about that particular thing. I could go to long periods of my life, all right? Raise my hand and wave a flag here. Now, verse 8, my son. By the way, this is written to Rehoboam. My son. Who's to take over after Solomon? Rehoboam. Okay. What's the sad part about this? Rehoboam didn't listen. Okay. Later on in life, he did. All right. But he got himself. Yes, sir.
Is that going along with what you meant about the dark sayings bit, having the information but not exercising it yet?
Well, dark sayings isn't having the information not exercising. It's hearing something and understanding what they're saying because they didn't come directly out and say it. All right. It's speaking. In other words, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. I'm trying to think of another one real quickly because Randy's having a hard time getting the concept. Does everybody think of a parable or a dark?
Reading between the lines.
Reading between the lines, okay? When someone says, I'm trying to read, you told them something, you're trying to read between the lines. What are they saying there, really?
Okay, that one I get.
Okay, that's a dark saying. Because somebody, let's say if they're a native Japanese speaker, and then they translated reading between the lines, it wouldn't mean anything to them. But if you're an English speaker, you know that it's trying to show what they're really trying to say. All right?
Actually, Nellie, you mentioned that. I couldn't think of an example where that applied. You remember when we were all stuck in the house, COVID, all that nonsense?
Yep.
After I talked to the secretary lady at Crown, why she was seeing how I was, I don't remember what it was she said, but I immediately recognized, oh, this woman really wants to know when I'll be back. Oh, by the way, doctor said I shouldn't be available by this day. Like, okay.
That's good. You read between the lines. The woman was speaking to him, and you read the dark saying. She wasn't coming out saying what she said. So that worked for you there.
Yeah.
All right. Good, Randy. That's a good example of that. All right. Then he says this, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Now, this is a fairly famous story. I'll say it again. But we used to have a ladies group that met when we had 6 o'clock Sunday services. At 5 o'clock, the ladies would meet. Ms. Ruth Ann would guide it, and they would go over Proverbs. And one day, they all spilled out and said, our mothers are horrible people. Okay? Says, obey the law of thy mother. But my mother's been horrible all my life. Okay? How do you do that? And the Lord gave me instant wisdom on that, and I've always thanked him for that. But it's one of those things I said to him. I said, if you saw your mother right now sinking in quicksand, and she's going to die, and you're walking that way, he said, don't walk this way. Oh, you're a hypocrite, Mom. Look where you are. I'll walk that way. Does anybody hear that stupid? All right. I think you'll note some of you who had mothers who had awful lives, terrible things that went on, that there's things they told you that if you had done it, you wouldn't be in the trouble you're in. But you despised them because of their hypocrisies.
Right, that's right.
Okay? You forsook the law of your mother. And if you had followed it, you would not have been in the misery that you got yourself into. Okay? Verse 9. For they shall be an ornament of grace under thy head and chains about thy neck. And again, it's a wonderful thing, you know, especially with women, chains around their neck and ornaments. You know, guys so much don't wear that, but in those days they did. In our culture, it's kind of weird when they do. I always remember Stevie Williamson. He's a pastor at Gethsemane today, but he hadn't been saved long. And again, he'd been a top baseball star. The Atlanta Braves used to send scouts to all his games. And he came up to Sammy Young and said, I just want to do whatever the Lord wants. Sammy Young said, well, take the necklace off. You know, he had one of those man chains. And you know what? He never wore another. That was the end of that. He only needed to be told one time. All right? Take the necklace off. All right. Verse 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. And you know what? Sinners are always enticing you. There's always sinners trying to get you to do what they do. Okay? Right. I'll never forget, not long after I got out of the military, and I was going to get ready, I was going to drive down to Pensacola to Dr. Ruckman's, but I'm still in Machias, New York, and a friend of mine who I went to high school with also had been stationed at one time together with him, and another guy that ran a ski shop, an older man, they both came into my living room, and they're trying to talk to me, and I was trying to tell them why I was going to follow the Lord, and finally got done, they said, all right, that's enough, well, let's go get drunk, come on, go sin with us. And I remember being really tempting because they really were fun guys. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. And it probably would have destroyed me had I gone along with it. I think at one time, Chelsea talking about her and Nate standing outside of a liquor store thinking, well, what if we just went and bought a little bit? Not enough to get drunk. And then they both realized, no, that's a mistake.
Right.
Okay.
Amen.
But she said, had we done it, it would have been over.
Oh, yeah.
Would have been over. Okay. Would have been the end of us. Okay. Sinners are always enticing you to step somewhere you shouldn't step. And there comes a point you have to be able to look at them and say no.
Yep.
Okay.
Good, Pastor.
And, you know, it hurts because of the peer pressure, but you have to look at them and say no. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I remember not long after I got saved at Gethsemane, and there's always swirling patterns of people who are upset and bothered and don't get what's going on or whatever else, and they get little concisions of people talking with each other. I remember Bill Randall saying, hey, this is going on, and he said, if somebody comes up and they're talking about me or the elders of this church, just tell them to shut their mouths. Shut their mouths. And then one day I'm sitting there talking to one of my better friends, and all of a sudden I realize, oh, he's doing that. He's trying to turn me against my own pastor. And I remember just saying, shut your mouth. All right? I know, there was no pleasant way to say it. Shut your mouth. Some of you would be in better shape today if you'd learned to say that.
That's right.
Shut your mouth, okay? If you got something to say against the pastor, the elders of the church, go say it to them. I've had people come up to me. You know, Dick Harbeck. Right, 3 or 4 different times as a pastor here, seriously disagreed with something I did and would come up here and talk to me. And to be honest with you, the 3 or 4 times, he was probably right most of them. And he just used to have a way of saying, Pastor, you know, I think you're wrong in this. And I thank God for him. All right?
Right.
It's just the early days of this church and me kind of getting used to things or whatever else. He didn't go around and talk behind my back to different people and get a concision up. He came straight to me and said those things. All right? That's just an old man with wisdom.
Amen.
All right? One of the reasons there's a church here today.
That's right.
Yep.
That's true.
Verse 11, if they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up, alive as the grave and whole as those that go down to the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our homes with spoil. By the way, that's what socialism does.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? No matter how much socialism wants to talk about, the only way they can take things from people is put them in jail, take their stuff away from them, walk into their house with the police. I just put on Facebook today something I saw on Powerline. It's a 7-minute video talking about how our nations, how do they become prosperous? And he went through, in the video, they show you a map of the top prosperous nations. And it said, in those nations, the poor in those nations have 20 times as much money as the middle class in the poor nations. Okay? And then it showed another map of nations that have freedom of choice for individuals and what they can do, and they overlap each other. Where there's freedom of choice and freedom of you to do what you want, freedom of speech, prosperity comes. But whenever people come together, come on, let's bond together. Let's take the money away from the rich people and let's, you know, let's divide it up. And that's how it's worked today, all right? And don't ever join that stuff. Don't ever get involved in that stuff, okay? Verse 12, let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as they go down to the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. And by the way, in those nations, the bureaucrats are the ones that are unbelievably wealthy.
Yeah.
When Fidel Castro was alive, there were people trying to estimate his wealth, but he probably was the most wealthy man in the world. Okay? He had all the wealth of Cuba. There were people trying to estimate it, but he probably was more wealthy than anyone else in the world at that time. He had all of it. Okay? And again, on the pretense of making everybody else rich.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all poor. Okay? Then he says this, my son, walk now thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. Verse 16, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the night is spread, the net is spread in the sight of any bird. Okay, if you're going to trap a bird, you don't put the trap out right in front of them, okay? And they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So these people that are doing that, they're the ones that are going to die miserable and awful lives, okay? It's an awful thing. Eventually things come to them, and it's not good what happens, okay? So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof.
Pastor?
Yes, ma'am?
Part of that thing with that net in the sight of every bird is that everyone else can see that there's the net, but not them.
Not them. Not just everybody else can see there's a net, but they can't see it. Then verse 20, wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. Wisdom is always spoken of as a she.
Always.
Because of the seven spirits of God with a small s, wisdom is the only one that's female. Mm-hmm. That's why when God made man, he made them in his own likeness, male and female. Okay? That's the only part of God that's female is wisdom. Okay? And if a man listens to his wife, chances are he'll get some wisdom. Okay? All right? Yes. All right. Excuse me, I didn't realize my wife was listening to that.
Oh, she is definitely going to remind you.
All right. Verse 21. She crieth in the chief places of the concourse, in the opening of the gates, in the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? You know, some of you caught on quicker. And some of you, it was an embarrassingly long time. How long you just, simple Simon met the pieman going to the fair, all right? Embarrassing how long you stayed with simplicity and did not listen to the things of God, all right? It's embarrassing how long that you kept in that. You know, I'll never forget when William Randall was working with me, and at that time he was smoking dope and shacking up with his girlfriend, and his father kicked him out of the house or whatever else. And I said, William, and I said, amongst the guys you go drink with and smoke dope with, is there a guy that's about 10, 15 years older than the rest of you? Yeah. And he said, I want you to watch his life and ask yourself, is there a bigger loser on life than that man? I remember him coming to me a couple days later and said, no, there is no bigger loser in life than that man who somehow or other was out smoking behind the dumpster and drinking and, you know, smoking dope behind the dumpster when he was in high school. And then, you know, everybody else went off to college, got jobs, joined the military, and he's still smoking dope behind the dumpster with the next group of kids and whatever else. And after a while, you look at him and he's just another, he thinks he's wise, all right? Thinks he's got all this knowledge or whatever, but I'll never forget. And just telling William, is that what you want to become? Do you want to become that man? Okay.
Right.
When are you going to break from that?
Right.
And he says this, turn you at my reproof, verse 23. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. God wants to pour. Notice again that small s spirit. Jesus Christ, the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. His spirit is always spoken with a small s. Okay, he said, I'll pour my spirit out to you. I'll teach you. I'll bring you in this path. I'm trying to guide you there. All right? But you've got to listen to the words of wisdom. When you reject the words of wisdom, you're really rejecting God's mercy for you. Verse 24, because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set it not all my counsel and with none of my reproof. About a week after Ruth Ann got saved, and I've told you there was no need for her to spend 19 years in agony. The only need was her own sense of trying to justify herself. Bitterness, lies she held on, wouldn't let go of, okay? But about 1 week after she really got saved, she came to me and said, there it is right there. That's why God would never save me. Because all the times he stretched out to me and I wouldn't have it. Wasn't going to do it his way. I want it my way. Okay? He said, there it is right there. This is why God would not deal with me. Okay? That's a hard thing. Verse 25, but ye have set at naught all my counsel and with none of my reproof. Reproof and rebuke are two different things. Rebuke is when I go, how many times have I told you, don't do that? Okay, that's a rebuke. Reproof is when I explain to him, that Randy, when you're done with your socks, don't just throw them on the kitchen table, okay? You know, now Randy's never done that, okay? So that's an exaggeration, okay?
That and Miss Dan would be on my tail
quick. Yeah, she'd be on your tail real quick. But the point is, with reproof, you're correcting a person, but you're explaining to them what they did wrong. So that you're giving them a chance to see. The rod and reproof give wisdom. Not just beating them like a cur dog.
Right.
Okay? And reproof without the rod loses all its power. It's a combination thereof that does what it needs to do. Okay? It's that combination thereof. It goes on, it says this. You've set aside all my counsel with none of my reproof. Verse 20 says, I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. There was a point in my life a couple of times when God merely laughed when I prayed to him. He just merely laughed. How many times did I try to, once as a saved man, I could go and cry to him and he just laughed. Okay? He just laughed. And as a lost man, there were times he just laughed. Okay? How many times did I reject what was really right? Okay? But thank God, that's why Peter says, he quotes the Apostle Paul, that the long suffering of our God is salvation.
That's right.
Thank God for sometimes when I'm walking around this church praying, I'll just praise God for his long suffering.
Yes, that's right.
And I'll go over times in my life that, oh my God, how could you have ever long suffered those things? And he did. And I marvel at it. They're wonderful. Okay. Verse 27, when your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. There were times, you'll find that in the book of Judges, they called upon God. He said, hey, I told them not to do this stuff. And he'd leave them under the hand of the Midianites for 7 years. That's where Gideon has actually got his crops. He's hiding them because the Midianites will come and take them away. You'll starve all winter hiding them. Why would he do that? Because I've told you over and over again, okay? Yeah, I'll deliver you, but you're going to suffer from this thing for a while, okay? And it's the law of reaping and sowing. And you're not going to escape that because you're a Christian.
Right.
When you got saved, Jesus Christ reaped everything you sowed. Okay? There's that parable where they say to the man, we know that thou art a hard and austere man, reaping where thou hast not sowed. That was Jesus Christ reaping. He hadn't sowed all that junk in your life, okay? And yet, he reaped every bit of it. And then you go out there and you start sowing again. All right? Start sowing again. And the reaping isn't easy. Okay? It's not easy. But let me tell you this. Never before have you been in such a family that when you go out there and you sow things that you ought not, such a family that is treated as tenderly and wonderfully and loving as it's handled.
Amen.
Okay? He says this, verse 28, then shall they call upon me, verse 29, for they that hated knowledge did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. Oh, what a horrible punishment to give you and make you eat what you sowed.
Wouldn't that verse alone define the concept of reprobate mind? Where am I off mark here?
That can be a reprobate mind where he turns them over to their own heart. Okay. Again, I've made this statement. If I had that instrument, could put it in your heart and everybody could look at that TV screen and what goes on in your heart, there's not a person here just wouldn't writhe in shame.
That's right.
Absolute shame of what's going on in their heart, okay? And one of the cruelest things that God could ever do is turn you over to one of those things. And some of you have been turned over to them in your life, okay? There's not a person here who doesn't have memories that you would writhe in shame if other people knew about it, okay? You'd be in agony if other people knew about some of the stuff you've done. But God knew every bit of it and loved you anyway.
Amen.
Okay?
Hallelujah. Thank God.
Verse 32, for the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. There's the old statement. If you took all the money in the world and divided it equally, in 1 year it'd be all back in the same hands. Because they don't know how to handle it.
Okay? I spoke of that earlier.
Right? And it's just a hard thing. I went through that. I'm watching Josh go through that. I remember growing up with nothing, poor, and finally making a lot of money in my life and just messing it all up. Last year, Josh made more money than Pastor Hain and I combined and only came out of it with debt. Okay? And yet he made more money than Pastor Hain and I combined. All right? And again, I remember having done that. Okay? It's a grievous thing. It's an awful thing.
Yes, sir.
All right? The question is, will he go on? Okay? Or will he learn from that? Will he learn from that mistake? I thank God for his mercy to me.
Yes, thank
okay?
You.
Thank God for that.
Yes, thank you.
And by the way, part of that is listening to counsel. All right? Verse 33, but whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Okay? And again, there's a lot of evil out there, and some of it's going to hit your life.
Oh, yeah.
Was it evil when a serpent grabbed on Paul's hand? Yes, it was. It was an awful thing. Okay? And everybody decided he must really be a wicked man. You know what? Sometimes things like that will happen to your life. Because, Tanya's finally getting hers. She's getting what she deserved. Really? Or is God trying to show some of you that she belongs to him?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Okay? You have to watch that stuff, okay? That jumping on people. This is why that happened to them or whatever else. You leave that between them and God.
Amen.
And one of the words, you realize one of the Psalms, and I can't, it might be 69, but I can't remember which one right now, but part of the curse is that they add grief to him who thou afflictest. Mm-hmm. There's somebody being afflicted and there's people adding grief to it. And it's a curse on that person. Don't you be that person. If you see your enemy suffering, mourn for that person. What if they don't ever do it back? So what? You did the right thing. The reason you do the right thing isn't for the other person. Do it selfishly for yourself. Do the right thing, okay? It's such a wonderful life to do right. John Vadas, would you close us in prayer?
Father, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to be here tonight, Lord. And help us as we study Proverbs, Father, to understand what you're trying to teach us, Lord. And we pray that our hearts will be open in our minds and our ears, Lord, that we can take in what you have for us. And we thank you for it, Lord. And thank you for this church family, Lord, how much each person means to us. And Father, we just ask now that you'll bless the time of refreshments and fellowship and a safe travel home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.